Spectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Normally when I think of Alan Taylor, I used to think of Alan Taylor scoring a couple of goals in an FA Cup final in 1975 for West Ham, but not this Alan Taylor. This Alan Taylor is a bit of a local legend. So, good afternoon, Alan. How are you?
Yeah, thank you so much for having us in today, sort of thing. Really appreciate the chance to talk about prostate cancer and about the testing that we arrange throughout the whole of the island. So, thank you.
You're welcome. More than welcome. And I know that you came in roughly around about this time last year and you were in the process of announcing events and so on. But let's start right at the very beginning. What is it?
Prostate cancer. Okay, so it's one of the... No, it is the main cancer for men that is called the silent killer, basically, because you can have no symptoms at all and yet you can have this cancer growing inside of you. And one of the main ways of finding out is to have a blood test, a PSA blood test. Very simple. You just come along, a small amount of blood is taken, not the Hancock whole arm. This is just a small amount of blood, a sample of blood. And then we send it off to QA Hospital to be analysed. And you get a result which has been looked at by a retired consultant, urology consultant. So he'll give you a line or two just recommending what you should do with the result that you get. And we've been running this now for 5 years. And last year we tested 2,000 men.
Which is incredible. And obviously every one of those were funded, those tests were funded.
Money had to be found to run the events, absolutely. And we don't get any funding at all from NHS or anything like that at all. So we have to rely on the generosity of people on the Isle of Wight. And we have to say we're absolutely knocked out by just how generous individuals, groups, societies, even other charities are at donating money towards us to enable us to run these events.
Have you noticed in the last couple of years, though, that people are a little bit more interested, if that's the right word, they're a little bit more engaged, maybe even a little bit more supportive and so on, because, you know, what you're doing is opened a few people's eyes to things. I mean, I never even gave it a thought. It's something that old people get. That was my thoughts. And then I drove by. You came in one day, and it was roughly the same day. I was driving along the Gunville Road, and I got to the end of the road, and there's a little sign up there, or somebody's hung. And I would imagine it's been up there for a number of years, and I would imagine those numbers are wrong now because they were quite high when it said so many people die from this awful disease every minute of the day. I would imagine, like I say, the numbers have gone up. But from that moment, I kind of took a bit more of a notice. So I noticed what was going on. I realised that, yeah, there were more and more people than you actually realise. So it's good that you've highlighted all of that. And now people are now having the ability to just pop along to an event. And I think it was a year ago that we were warning people, or we were just not warning them, but telling them. The awful stories that you hear where people put fingers somewhere and so on, that's not true. And it really isn't true. It's just a simple blood test. That's what it is, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's very interesting you used to say that, because we stand outside Tesco's and Asda's and places, and we're really pleased that that companies like that will let us promote our events. But the biggest thing this year we've noticed, because we have a helpline, which I live with 24/7, since the King has had his problems with, we're told, an enlarged prostate, and then is receiving treatment for cancer, we're told not prostate cancer. We're all not sure about that, but okay, that's what they're telling out. The numbers now of people that are phoning up wanting to know when our next PSA event is and where it is, etc., that has had a huge impact on what is going, more so than anything I can remember in the 5 years we've been running these PSA tests. We've in the past had to work really hard to convince people, first of all, that they should have a test. Then when we've convinced them to have a test, for them to turn up. Fortunately, the ladies are our strong point. They very much take on board that the need for the test. And at one stage before COVID, we used to have a couple of tables at our test events so all the wives could sit there and chat while the men were going through as they were bringing them in. Now, unfortunately, they have to sit in the car park while the guys come through. But we do notice that a lot of the ladies, and we're very grateful for the ladies for taking this on board and making sure their men come along.
And you highlighted a point there, and I was going to ask that you know, is this is for men, but let's not forget that it affects women too. And I just want to take you back. We had a conversation out there in the green room, and when you were diagnosed and told, you said you had this vision of your wife. Do you just want to describe that?
Yeah. It was like she melted alongside of me. I mean, I felt like I'd been punched in the stomach, but she sort of just melted hearing that situation. And I get a number of ladies on the helpline phoning up who are quite desperate because their husbands have just been diagnosed with the situation. I mean, it's a thing that prostate cancer is not limited, actually, to men. Although only men have got a prostate, there is a gene involved in prostate cancer, which is also involved in breast cancer and ovarian cancer as well. And the hereditary nature of this particular cancer means that the man can pass this gene on to both his son and his daughter. Now, the daughter, we always recommend, should go along to the doctor and get a gene test or even take one themselves. They're not too expensive to be done, as well as the son should be tested as well to make sure they're clear. But you see the effect of the family that happens when a man is diagnosed with this particular illness. Somebody told me that 30 people are affected for each single diagnosis that goes on, family, friends, colleagues, mates down the pub, etc. This cycle of 30 men. So when we found last year, 190 men last year we found had a problem and needed medical intervention, you've quickly multiplied that by three and you've got a vast number of people that have been affected on the Isle of Wight from it.
Wow, I didn't know. I mean, it can be hereditary. I didn't know that.
Absolutely, yeah. The situation is that the chances of an average man getting prostate cancer is approximately 15%, that's the average. But if you've got someone in the family that's got it, uncle, father, grandfather, grandmother with breast cancer, your chance of getting it goes up three times. Now, that's quite a staggering number for a lot of people when we pass that information on, but that is the situation with it. The other big one is, well, if you're a person from the Caribbean islands or from Africa, then you start at a level of not 15%, but 25% chance of getting prostate cancer as well. So we're trying to put out our biggest worry is trying to get the information out to people out there about just what the situation is. And the campaigns have been run by PCUK, but it's not there at ground level is what we're finding. And so that's why we spend so much time when we go to these supermarkets, when we go to the Busy Bee and other garden centres, when we attend shows and what have you, we see it as important for us to get the information out, then to try and get the men signed up. And then anything else that comes from that afterwards is what we're looking for.
Are there any... I'm now thinking that I'm picturing that there will be men listening to this, there will be ladies listening to this, and you're thinking, right, OK, blokes will be now thinking, have I got any symptoms? What are they? What are the symptoms?
OK, so your main symptoms are, during the night, getting up to go to the toilet more than maybe once or twice. If you're getting up more than that during the night, that is the classic symptom. The next symptom that many people complain of is needing to go, urgency of wanting to go. And then when you get there, you're struggling to go. It's really difficult to go as such. When you've been, you find or you feel that you haven't emptied the bladder properly. You still feel there's still a little bit left behind sort of thing. Dribbling as well, maybe in between, is another classic symptom as well. And the one everybody dreads is the lack of libido. Just losing interest in sex is a problem as well. So all of those are the general symptoms. But I must say to you that the 2,000 men we tested last year, 90% of them had no symptoms at all. The good thing about symptoms is that if you go to the doctor, they will test you. The bad thing about symptoms is by then the cancer is likely to be established, and therefore the treatment you're going to get is going to be a little bit more severe.
Who should come along and be tested then? Because obviously you've got a limited amount of spaces and funds, and you want to see as many people there as possible. That is, you know, they're not going to be just wasting it. You know, if you're 23, a fine figure of a man, and you know, do you need to go and have a test? I mean, it's not for me to say. I'm not a doctor. Probably not. So who should?
Okay, so the NHS recommend that a man over the age of 50, that is the age when you should have a PSA test. But if you've got any history in your family, then 40 is the age to be tested. Likewise, if you're one of our coloured friends from Africa or Caribbean, 40 again is the time we should be tested. So we take it as being 40. We run our tests from any man over the age of 40. And on the Isle of Wight, generally 75 to 80 is being seen as the range, 40 to 80. But we have some very fit men in the West Wight and places that like to be tested. And this hereditary nature of the illness means that people want to know. So we have gone up to 90 testing men. But generally we find the block of age that we have the most is 55 to 75. That's when the majority of men come along to be tested.
Okay, so all of those people that were tested last year and they were lucky enough it came out negative, how long should it be before they test again?
Okay, so now we're talking about PSA and why there is a negative idea about PSA testing here. PSA testing was originally produced so that it would look at the results of someone who'd been treated for prostate cancer, and then every 6 months he would have a PSA test to make sure everything was good. Now, somebody got onto this and thinking, hang on, maybe we could use this as a diagnostic tool and use it beforehand. So then PSA testing was then used 6 monthly just to see if somebody was having problems. Then it was then used as a one-off test, and that's where it doesn't work well. As a one-off PSA test, it's not very accurate because you need multiple tests. It's a comparative test, basically. You get your first test, that gives you your baseline. We recommend 12 months after that you have your second test to compare with your first test. If you're staying pretty much the same, then possibly 2 years later you have another test, and then it's up to you. Do you want to come every 2 years, every 3 years? Something like that is what you want to be coming along. What we don't want is people coming every 3 months, but what we also don't want is people having one test and thinking, oh, that was a good result, and then I've ticked the box, I won't bother with that for 5 years. That isn't the way the PSA. It's important to have a number of tests so you can compare results.
Okay, so if you went along for a test last year and you were negative, maybe you should think about not going this year and give other people a chance.
Possibly you could think of that, although we're not any man that gets in touch with us that wants to be tested. We're going to invite him to come along to get them tested. We ran for 2,000 last year, which we comfortably made. This year we're going to run for 1,750 for various reasons. And the classic situation at the minute is our first test is on the 13th of April in Cowes at the Masonic Hall. And already of the 360 places, there are 78 left. But we have 5 events, so we've got the second and the third event on there at 360 to come along. I don't like trying to act as if I can say you should come or you shouldn't come. If you're of the nervous disposition or stressed that you think that you would need a test each year, then come and have a test each year. The worries about cancer are something that can be so easily alleviated, this cancer, with just a simple blood test. So we don't want people coming every 3 months, but certainly for the first, second and third time, every 12 months, that's sensible.
Okay. What about, you mentioned lifestyle there. You mentioned people being stressed and so on. So if you've got a stressy lifestyle, maybe you should look into it. If you've got a lifestyle where you're perhaps eating too much, drinking too much, does that have an effect getting cancer, or does it? And then when you've got it and being diagnosed, should you eat more healthy, or should you just eat more healthier anyway? Does it affect it?
Obviously it does. Yeah, quite obviously that food is, you are what you eat sort of thing. So obviously all the food you're eating, we always say to people once they've been diagnosed, listen, you're going to get treatment now, which is going to help you with the cancer, but you're going to have to make some lifestyle changes if you're going to help the treatment. You've got to make an effort to help the treatment is what you've got to do. So if you've been eating too many fry-ups, too many greasy things, drinking too much, smoking, eating the wrong stuff, let this be a motivation for you to change your lifestyle. But as you're correctly saying, better still, everybody should be looking at what they're eating, what they're, how much exercise. Exercise has been absolutely shown to help the situation with both relieving the symptoms and also helping, if you've been diagnosed, to extend the amount of time after your diagnosis that you're going to be able to survive with prostate cancer, you know.
Do you know, it's good to talk to you, and it's good that we are talking about it, because I've always said that, you know, people, men, especially men don't talk about these kind of things. They don't want to talk about these kind of things unless they're down a pub and they've had a drink and they can make a joke out of it. They don't want to talk about it at all. Do you think enough is being... I mean, you mentioned Prince Charles, not Prince Charles, King Charles, earlier on, and all of a sudden everybody's talking about it. And it's a case of, yeah, we need to highlight it. We need to put it under a big spotlight so people know, not ram it down their throats, but at the same time, just make them a little bit more aware. I don't think there's enough made of it, but I'll tell you what I did see very recently. I saw a commercial where a gentleman was wearing incontinence pants, and he was wearing a suit and so on, and he wouldn't have known, and he looked happy, and I thought, I don't know whether I watched it all the way through, but it didn't actually say why. It didn't actually, I mean, okay, you could be wearing that kind of pants, those kind of underwear for many different reasons, but they didn't go into any details. And it's still a worry of mine that it still gets a little bit shoved under the carpet a little bit, and don't really want to talk about the real crutch of the matter. You know, it's, yeah, okay, it's down there. It's, you know, and it does affect you weeing. It does affect you having sex and all those things. Nobody really wants to talk about that, but maybe we should.
Absolutely right. And you were talking about men down the pub who don't want to talk about it, but after a couple of pints have to rush off to go to the toilet sort of thing, while the others are able to keep 4 or 5 pints down. And then what the person going, having to go off to the toilet regularly, doesn't realise that possibly the other guys are saying... could be a problem there, sort of thing, but don't want to talk about it, don't want to say to him, you know, maybe you need to go and have something done about it. And this is why we put posters around the place, this is why we've got the website, this is why we're now running a podcast, this is why we produce a newsletter, just to try and make people understand what's available, what you can do, that it's not the... I mean, I have to answer these telephone conversations with men that have just been diagnosed, pointing out to them that it isn't the end of the world. You know, there's a lot of treatments out there. I remember a guy spoke to me about 6 months ago, which was about June time. Yeah, about June, wanted to know where he could buy Christmas presents, because he'd just been diagnosed, as if this was the end sort of thing, you know. And try to point out to him that the treatments are good, you know, and if you help yourself by what we were saying about eating the right things, about having exercise, about making sure that you're socialising with people, trying to talk about it, talking to people about it, then the anecdote about how long is a piece of string is very much on survival rates after you've been diagnosed.
Hey, look, let's, because we've running out of time, and I just want to make sure that everyone is aware that they can go to an event. They are limited to numbers, and, you know, ideally they wouldn't be. Ideally they'd be fully funded for, you know, throughout the year, so people can go and get a test. But there's 5 events And the first one is on the 13th of April. This is at Cowes Masonic Hall, and you've got four others there. Do you want to tell us about the other four?
Yeah, so the second one is on the 1st of June, which is going to be run at the Rugby Club, Sandown and Shanklin.
You're doing
Rugby
this
Club.
From memory, aren't you?
I am, Sandown and yeah. Rugby Club. and the third one is going to be out at Totland, because we like to get around the island, and that's going to be on the 20th of July. And the again, it's at the Bowls Club there. The fourth one is going to be at Ryde. Now, I could get this wrong. This is the 7th of September, as far as I can remember. And again, the final one is back here in Newport at the 2nd of November at the Scout Hut. And all of those events you will find on our website. You'll be able to go on it at iwpcsg.org. Go onto that website, just hang around for about 3 seconds, and a little black mark comes down telling you how to book your PSA test. Click on that, put you into a booking site, change the screen there to the site you want to go to, the venue you want to go to, personal details, and you'll get yourself an appointment to come along and get tested. Unfortunately, it's difficult for us to take people off the road. We do if we've got spaces on the day, but we can't guarantee you'll get through in 15 minutes. But we do try to help everybody.
Do you know what? A year ago, you'd have had to read all that. All that, that's unscripted, isn't it? That's all in your head because you're doing it so much. And you're doing a fantastic job. I love what you've done. I really do. I think there was more people like you in the world. You know, you're highlighting something. Okay, it's a knock on the door and it's like, oh, it's bad news, I'm afraid. But that bad news could turn into good news if you act. And we should say at this point that, you know, these funds that you get to put these things on, five events this year are funded by the lights at Long Lane with Terry Ramplin, who does this for, I don't know, he's been doing it for about 24 years now, and top bloke. So long may it continue, and it's because of people like Terry and yourself that, you know, how many people last year, come on, give us some figures. How many people had a test last year? How many people are now going through the fact that they've caught things early?
So of the 2,000 men that we tested last year, 191 of them needed some sort of medical follow-up from that. So the majority of those people that have gone through will have had either active surveillance, which means that there is a cancer there, but it isn't growing rapidly, it's not aggressive, so they're just going to have regular PSA tests. Or they may have had to have treatment itself, which can be operation, radiotherapy, etc. We're very fortunate on the Isle of Wight that at Portsmouth we have a robotic help for the operations that are going on there. If it could just be an enlarged prostate, as with King Charles, it could be an enlarged prostate, and there are numerous treatments that you can have for that as well. So there are numerous treatments that are available now, and it's always getting better. I know my consultant says to me, because I've survived 13 years so far, the longer you survive, Alan, he says, the more treatments will make you survive even longer. And that's what the message as well that we can put out there. Catch it early, and then you can really have some positive treatment, and you can look forward to an active life with hopefully a better lifestyle, because you've had a bit of motivation.
Fantastic. Will you come back again and talk some more?
Absolutely.
Great. It's always a pleasure to spend some time with you.
I've got to thank Vectors Radio. Have been fantastic in the way they've allowed us to advertise the events we're doing. We really appreciate what they're doing, as we do with everybody else, the ferry company that helps us, with the masons that help us, the Lions, the stores, that supermarkets and shows and everybody else. Everyone is so fantastic the way they're doing things. So thank you, everyone. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Thank you, Alan. We're going to go into a break now. We're going to come out the other side with some Ultravox, but check out that website and get yourself booked in.